please be seated. And Vivian's going to read for us our first reading appointed for today. It's words of the Apostle Paul from Ephesians chapter 3. And you might know that the word epiphany, it means something like revelation or discovery or manifestation or something like that. You could go home today and say, Mum, Dad, I've had an epiphany. We should have chips for lunch. Like, something like that. And so one of the things we think about here is the wise men as representatives of the nations. They were presumably not Jews. They were Gentiles, non-Jews. So they represent, you know, the heathen or pagan nations, maybe. And this reading, I guess, fits with that because the Apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles or to the nations. So he talks about how God has entrusted him with this special ministry to bring the good news to those who didn't belong to the people of Israel, God's people, in Old Testament times. And I don't know whether anybody here is from a Jewish background. I guess most of us aren't. So I guess we should be thankful for the mission of Paul and his successors who brought the gospel even to this dank, obscure Northern Ireland.
I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by gifts of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the Church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you to you, Vivian. A wonderful, wonderful passage, isn't it, about the unsearchable riches of Christ, that secret which has now been revealed, that we Gentiles can be included in Christ on the same kind of terms as Israel, as co-heirs, co-members of his body and family and so on. But the passage that we're actually going to concentrate on today is the famous account of the visit of the Magi or wise men from Matthew chapter 2. So if you're someone who likes to look at the Bible passage, you might like to find it. Matthew chapter 2, page 966. Matthew 2, page 966. Keep it open, find a bookmark or something. Now, has anybody made a New Year's resolution? Are you? Very good. Very good, very good. And you've also conveniently done a New Year's resolution that lasts a month, not a year.
Correct.
So that's quite wise. Anybody else? Oh, you are a boring lot. Boring! Oh, have you? Is this another comedy one, Steve? Or? Well. Okay, very good. How's it going? Sorry? Yeah, that's right. Brilliant. Okay, helpful. That's a blessing, yeah. Good. Oh, well done, Judith. You're so on message. We could sack off the rest of the sermon now. Judith has resolved to come to prayer first. Is she not an example to us all? Very good. Oh, I just got to go and cross out some of my notes. Hang on. Right. Good. New Year's resolutions. They were a very boring Vodal speech too. Nobody had made a New Year's resolution, or at least not one that they would tell me about. I obviously am again going to try and be a bit less fat. Obviously it'll be completely useless. But anyway, as we read our Bible reading, maybe think about, is there a New Year's resolution or a resolution that it might suggest? Okay, and I think Freddie is kindly going to read it for us. Thank you.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of the King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasure and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. We have been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. They returned to their country by another route. Thanks be to God.
And thank you to you, Freddie. Thank you very much. Brilliant. Right. So, has anybody got any New Year's resolutions, suggestions in the light of that passage?
Listen to God and do what he says.
That'd be quite a good one. Okay. Very good. Yes, okay. They were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod and they didn't. Yes, okay. Any other suggestions? Well, I'm going to suggest the New Year's resolution to rule them all could just be simply seek Jesus. Seek Jesus. Can we have the first picture up, Matthew? At Bible College, they say that you should just say one big thing in each sermon. So today it is seek Jesus. So see you next week. Thanks very much for coming. Seek Jesus. the wise men seek Jesus, and rightly so. They do it, whatever the cost. Now, bless you. Now, as we've said, we don't know how many wise men there were. Sometimes we guess three because of the gifts. Did they each bring one gift? Maybe there were loads more. There could have been 1,000, couldn't there? 10,000, million? Who knows? And I suppose if they could, they would have brought some help, wouldn't they? Staff. You probably do that if you're travelling. Take the staff with you. Maybe some guards, if they could. I think I would. So, perhaps it was a great big rigmarole. Where did they come from? From the east. Maybe from China. Or India. Or somewhere like that. Perhaps most likely from Babylon. Because the Jews had been in exile in Babylon. So perhaps in Babylon they would have heard about this promise of the Messiah. It's quite reminiscent, isn't it, of the book of Daniel, actually, this chapter. You know, the king goes and asks the wise men of his court. So you might say it's reminiscent of Pharaoh in Egypt, but it's also reminiscent of the book of Daniel, isn't it? So maybe they came from Babylon, kind of Iraq kind of way. It's just a guess. So I put this into Google Maps. I think it said, if I wanted to walk from Babylon to Bethlehem via Jerusalem, it would take me how long? Is it, I don't know whether this is my current fat state or in my... How long? 2 years? No! Sorry? Did it? Well, maybe. Might have taken them about 2 years, maybe, yeah.
4 years.
Thanks. I don't have to come here to be insulted. Well, okay. I think it said 266 hours. Okay. And obviously you've got to... Sorry? Well, I don't know. I mean, presumably you're not going to do it 24/7. I would have quite a lot of breaks. And I might have a camel if I could, or a car, or whatever. Anyway, so I reckon, maybe, do you think it like, a reasonable minimum might be a month each way, I reckon? And if I'd gone that far, I would stay for a while, even if Mary and Joseph weren't really up for it. You probably don't just pop in for the afternoon, do you? So, do they take a couple of months out of their lives? I don't know if they had jobs or things to do or whatever, but I don't know how you would feel if one of your friends says, tell me, you're one of my fellow wise men, what are you doing for the next few months? You'd ask the wife. Yeah, I don't know what their wives, maybe they weren't married, maybe they took their wives, but what would the wife think, you know, I'm going on a holiday, another of Tim's stupid ideas, you know. It's a big thing, isn't it? Costly, probably an expensive, dangerous, difficult journey. We have just been to Leeds for a few days. On the way there, we were in the car for virtually the entire day, very, very tedious, squabble, squabble, squabble. And then obviously you get there and there's no room at the inn, so it's all a bit difficult. Then there's this roof box, which is broken, so that doesn't work. And then when we were driving back, we had a brilliant journey back, stopped at the services. I drove in a bit enthusiastically onto the curb, so then the car was wedged, so then the front of the car came off, and then the AA had to come. And we're actually back quicker than we would have been. The journey back was still quicker, even with the AA involved, but now the car is held together with cable ties, and some of the car is in the boot of the car. So, journeys can be difficult. but it was worth it to see your parents, my love. And no doubt the wise men also thought it was worth it. Let's have the next slide up. What's that? A pearl. It's meant to be a pearl of great price. We might take that as a picture of the Lord Jesus. Seek Jesus, whatever the cost, because it's worth it. In fact, the Bible would say it's the best thing ever. Really the only most important thing, that pearl of great price, that treasure hidden in a field that it is worth selling everything to gain. Paul talked, didn't he, in our reading about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Jesus, who's infinitely valuable. Jesus, whom you can never exhaust. I guess the wise men were risking their lives, not only on the journey, but also from murderous King Herod. He wants to kill Jesus. He kills all the baby boys. Would he have killed them? I don't know. Maybe they're risking everything for the sake of Jesus. And I bet they would say, well, we are right to do it. Do you know the T.S. Eliot poem, The Journey of the Magi? You should go and listen to it. You can, on YouTube, you can hear T.S. Eliot reading it, bad recording. You can hear Sir Alec Guinness reading it, good recording. And they say how it's like kind of death. I kind of died when I met Jesus. Yes, it was a birth, but it was also a kind of death. Because now I'm back in my home country and the girls who bring the sherbet don't seem quite as alluring as they once did. And maybe I'm sort of feel ready to die now. It's really worth, a really great poem, you should listen to it. Seek Jesus. There's a cost to following Jesus, perhaps a cost in terms of time and money and effort and personal transformation and not quite fitting in and battling with sin in a new way and longing for heaven and not quite feeling at home in the old dispensation which you once enjoyed perfectly well, perhaps. But he is of infinite value and worth, and the cost of not seeking him is also infinite. Seek Jesus, whatever the cost. That's basically the sermon, but because you like it long, let's do a bit more. Next one. How did they get there? They followed the star, basically, didn't they? Although it was slightly weird, sort of faulty sat nav, wasn't it? Because why did they go via Jerusalem and then why on to Bethlehem? So it's all very, very strange. People speculate about what astrological phenomenon it could have been. So you could Google that, there are various suggestions. Stars in the Bible are rulers, aren't they? The sun and the moon to rule the day and the night. And when the Bible talks about stars falling from heaven, it doesn't literally mean the universe is going to disintegrate. It means there's a new king, you know, like in Venezuela, a star has fallen from heaven, we might say. So they follow the star. And I suppose it's true for us that creation can tell us that there is a God whom we should pray to and trust and believe in. But the star doesn't get them all the way, does it? Even that miracle of the star, I assume it must have been a miracle. Probably wasn't just Halley's Comet or whatever, because it's not going to stop over the house where the child was, unless it's having a real off day, is it? So anyway, they follow the star, they follow creation, they follow a miracle, maybe. But how do they actually find out where Jesus is? They consult not the star, but the Bible teachers, the scribes, the scriptures, yeah? So they turn up and say, where's the Messiah going to be born? They say, oh, we know exactly in Bethlehem. What you need is a Bible. What you need, if you like, is a Bible teacher. Or so We are to seek Christ, whatever the cost, not so much in the stars or in creation or by waiting for some miracle or revelation, but in the scriptures. And it's nice and easy for us. We've probably got Bibles on our bookshelves. We've got it free on the internet. David Suchet can read it to you. You've got a fantastic church in your own parish. Praise the Lord. How convenient. Do come every Sunday. And maybe your New Year's resolution, after you've resolved to come to prayer first, you could resolve to open your Bible between now and next Sunday, maybe. Or if you already do that, maybe you'd open it most days. Or perhaps even every day or something. And to seek Christ in it. Seek Jesus, whatever the cost, in the scriptures. And last slide, perhaps appreciating some of the significance of Jesus, who he is and what he's come to do. They bow down and they worship him. And they give him their gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. Gifts fit for a king, or as our song puts it, maybe gold for a king, incense for a deity, for a god, and myrrh, which in the Gospels is twice associated with Jesus' death. And top Christmas quiz, there's one passage in the Old Testament that actually mentions gold and frankincense and myrrh. Have you been cheating? It is in the Song of Songs, well done. Song of Songs, chapters 3 and 4, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The Song of Songs, it means like the best song ever. And it's about the bridegroom king, who Jesus turns out to be the bridegroom king. The one we should love. The one who loves us. Right. Well, that's probably more than enough of that. Let's be quiet for a moment. Seek Jesus, whatever the cost, in the scriptures. Worshipping him, appreciating something of who he is and why he's come, and listening to and obeying God's word. Thinking about what difference it will make to be one who worships Jesus, not on a holiday road trip only, but with your whole life. And maybe there's one practical resolution that you would like to make in the light of what we've thought about, or one thing you'd like to remember or think about a bit more. So I'll be quiet for a minute and just let you think about your one thing, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, who is the great King, who came to put us right with you, to die for us. Open our eyes more and more to who he is and what he came to do. May we seek him. Keep us from blind alleys and false trails, we pray. May we seek him, even if it's difficult and costly. May we truly worship him, not only for a moment, but our whole lives long. In his name we pray. Amen.